Hey, fearless fundraisers, I'm Dawn Lego, and it's time once again to buckle up for a new episode of Raise Nation Radio, the one and only podcast made to inspire fundraisers like you to continue making impact in our communities, building better tomorrows, and exchanging ideas. So whether you're a trailblazer or seasoned pro, you'll pick up the trends that transform your fundraising. And together, we'll dive into lively conversations and chat with industry-leading fundraisers and thought leaders to explore hot-button issues and innovative ideas. So stay with us for the next 30 minutes while we inspire you to embrace the future of fundraising. Well, welcome back, Raise Nation. It's so good to connect with you again. If you've been following us, thank you. The show's been so popular all over social. We stream on 10 channels, and I feel like you're connecting with us everywhere. So thank you. If you're new, you're going to want to stick around, because we are over 130 episodes strong and counting. We drop episodes every week, and we want you to listen to them all and enjoy them. And especially this one, because we are celebrating Earth Day. Who doesn't celebrate Earth Day? And to help us do that, we're going to talk to a nonprofit. I have with me Yvette Ayala. I hope I got the accent right on the last name there. She is the president and founder of Reclaimed Earth. And I know we're going to get into some exciting conversation and learn about the mission. Yvette, welcome to Raise Nation Radio. How are you?
Thank you, Dawn. I am doing very well. I'm so excited to be here today and prematurely celebrate Earth Day and prep for all of the fantastic things that I know people are planning for around the planet. So.
Yeah, well, hopefully you're going to give us some insight into what we should be doing and planning around the planet. But before we do, our audience wants to get to know you, and our audience also knows that I don't like reading bios. I like just, getting to know each other, even though we're through mics and screens and all of that. So why don't you do your own introduction? Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, what Reclaimed Earth is and the mission, and whatever you want to share about yourself personally. We'd love to hear it.
Perfect. So like you said, my name is Yvette Ayala, and I am a conservationist and lawyer. I started Reclaimed Earth approximately six. Actually, we're coming up on our sixth anniversary in May.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. And Reclaimed Earth was really, it's my passion project. It's what I know my purpose is on this planet. And it's dedicated to the conservation of endangered wildlife. And with that, it means we educate all specific species. When it calls for it, we help protect habitats, we help repopulate endangered species. So there's a whole slew of things that we can talk about today. And really, it was born out of, I don't believe people don't care. I think people don't know enough to mm-hmm. care.
Okay, that's powerful. And I think I agree 100% true, because I don't know enough. And I'm hoping that you'll enlighten me here on this podcast. And if anybody's listening on Spotify or Google Podcasts or Apple Music, wherever you get your podcasts, Yvette has this gorgeous, stunning portrait behind her of an elephant. And it's textured, I've learned, and it's just beautiful. But your artwork, I think your artwork speaks to your purpose and your why, because I got a chance to see a little bit of it. So that's pretty cool. So let's go. Let's talk about that inspiration. So were you ever practicing law at one point?
I am still practicing law. I have my own law firm. I practice intellectual property, which has nothing to do with wildlife. And I do like what I do. Most of my clients, it's not the typical situation where someone comes to you with a problem. Sometimes they do. But most of the time, I'm surrounded by people who are inspired by what they're creating. And so it's a beautiful energy to be around. So I do love what I do as a lawyer. However, it wasn't my purpose. And I knew that about a year in. I became a lawyer because my parents are immigrants and they really wanted me being the first generation that was born here, they're like, you need to have a degree. And it was very clear from a very young age that if I was going to go into one of the typical careers, it was going to be a lawyer.
Okay. Had that mapped out for you. And you love it. You love it. You love what you do. You love your work. So that's fair. You were just looking for a purpose.
Yeah. And So 6 years ago, I did a little soul searching and came home and told my husband, I need to go to Africa. I'm planning this trip for about a month and I want to learn. And he was like, his only question was, can I come with you?
Wow. Good husband. Okay. Let's give a shout out to Yvette's husband. Can I come with you? Okay. Yeah. So you took this trip to Africa.
So we took the trip and the idea was I basically looked at everyone I had been following, all of my interests, and did a roadmap. And so we volunteered in some places, other places we just showed up and did interviews with the people that run it. They would give us tours. And I really used what I learned as a lawyer to vet these places and decide whether they were whether it was a facade or whether they were actually doing good work. And by the time we came back, I had three partnerships set up and I already had vision to set up as part of our educational programs, taking volunteers over there. And we were sort of forming that project already when we got back.
Wow. So how long were you there?
We were there a month.
Wow. Okay. How do you do it all? So you have a law firm, you have clients, that's a very busy schedule. You have a home life, your husband, and you have Reclaimed Earth. How do you spread the wealth there?
I think what I do with Reclaimed Earth feeds who I can be for everyone else, if that makes sense.
Since it does. Powerful, but it makes sense.
Then I have the capacity to really, okay, well, I have to work to make money to be able to do this because I don't get paid through Reclaimed Earth. It's purely volunteer. And so the time I dedicate, I know that I have to dedicate just as much time to paying my bills. And so hopefully this year, though, we're in transition. I have been seeking work where I am doing legal work, but it's conservation work. So it'll be a little bit more in line because right
connected.
Now it's like mishap and then take that off and then go talk about wildlife, right? So it's a little bit chaotic at times, but like I said, I feel so inspired by what other people are doing in the space and hopeful that we are making a difference, that it feeds everything else.
Well, you're remarkable and such an inspiration. And I feel like I can have a whole podcast just on Yvette as the person and your trip to Africa and the many hats that you wear and the many things that you do. But I'm going to refocus on Reclaimed Earth because I'm just so curious. I want to know. I think you're right about how you open this podcast. You believe that people care. The issue is more they don't have enough to know to care. So I'd love to highlight, what are some of your current projects so that we can get a little bit more context and understanding of Reclaimed Earth and what's going on there? Can you talk about some of your projects there?
Yeah. So we have three. So let me back up. We have a lot of projects that we have grown over the years and they've stuck. And so, for example, we have a bonneted bat project that we do during Halloween. The Florida bonneted bat is the largest bat in Florida. It only lives here and in the Bahamas. And the bat is federally endangered. And the more we develop, the less space the bat has. So we created a program for kids where they come out and they get to play with these devices that basically it catches the echolocation of the bats flying above them. And so they're going around these golf courses and places you wouldn't think have bats with their parents. And they look like they're playing Pokemon Go because they're
right, right. Oh, how fun this is.
All of the echolocation. So we have projects like that people just love them. So we keep them going. And they're based at, like, the focus is education, right? But then we have every year we add new projects. The projects we've added this year are in Uganda. We discovered that for the mountain gorillas, there's a community that lives right outside the forest. And these people live in incredibly impoverished situations, and they don't complain. They're just happy to be there and be contributing to the planet. And I met a lot of the community while I was there last year, fell in love with the children, and discovered that during dry season, these kids have to choose between going to school or getting the community, their family water at the closest water that there is, which is usually 2.5-3 hours away. And it's in a serious incline because they're at the top of the mountain and they have to go down to the river to get this water. So I spoke to a gentleman by the name of Andrew. He is co-founder of Hornbill Safari and Treks. And he is from Uganda. He knows the community very well. And so I posed the project to him because I didn't want to come in like we knew better, but I did want to help be part of the solution. And so we spoke, we had several planning meetings. He loved the concept that I came up with. And basically what we're going to be doing is building a water resource at the school. And so if
they don't have to choose,
So now if they go to school, their teacher signs off on their attendance and they get water for the whole family from the school.
No. And oh my God, that's beautiful.
I'm so excited that we've got the community backing. We got all the approvals we needed, and now we're just in the fundraising stage.
No student should ever have to make that choice, ever. Yeah.
Especially, so again, our cause is wildlife, so people are like, why are you doing this for the kids? Several of the rangers that I met while I was trekking through this forest looking for the gorillas, they were so, like, part of their pride was that they were able to go to school despite the circumstances over there. And so if we can get more kids going to school and graduating, they can choose to take up some of these jobs, being rangers, working at the main park, the Windy Impenetrable Forest Park. They have headquarters there where they need staff. And they need scientists, and they need all these different aspects of protecting these gorillas.
Wow. Wow, it's a sad situation to think that any student child would have to make that choice.
It was really moving while I was.
Yeah, I'm taken back a little bit, to be honest. And now I go back really to what you said in the beginning. Like, now I care, right? My kids never had to make that decision, right? So now I care. But you're right. I needed to understand first before I can care. And that's probably what the problem or some of the issues are. So that's a pretty big undertaking. Is that your biggest or that you've done so far with Reclaimed Earth, or do you have another heartwarming story that you're going to share? Like, what was your biggest undertaking so far?
Oh, okay. So our biggest undertaking was in 2020, and it's not hard for me to pinpoint that project at all. The world had shut down because of COVID. People really didn't care about animals because they were caring about surviving this crazy pandemic no one knew enough about. And we got a call. I don't remember exactly when we got the call. I want to say it was like April of 2020 that a mom rhino had moved on to this little date palm island in the Okavango Delta in Botswana to give birth, which is great news, right? New baby rhino. However, she was not aware that there had been flooding hundreds of miles away and the waters were going to be coming to surround this little sanctuary that she decided she'd give birth on. And so by the time the baby was born and big enough to like walk, the little date palm island was completely flooded. So there was no way for them to get off the island. We were contacted by Great Plains Foundation, which is one of our partners. They have some beautiful properties and beautiful conservation projects throughout Africa, but Botswana is one of their highlighted projects. And they contacted us, told us about this, told us that they would have a solution until the Botswanan government allowed them to do something about it. So until they got the permits. And so basically they had a ranger that would go out every day or every other day to make sure there was enough food on this little island for the mom and baby rhino. And thankfully, we were able to get the permits and Reclaimed Earth fundraised enough and located a Black Hawk helicopter, because apparently there's only three helicopters that can carry the weight of a rhino.
Okay. And I would think it's not a popular vehicle that's just readily available.
So we were able to find a Black Hawk helicopter that was going to, it was being used to put out fires in South Africa. And so it could quickly jump over to Botswana. And we got the fundraising for the fuel, the guys with the Black Hawk, thankfully, they donated the fly time and all of that. But we had to provide the fuel and their stay and then all of the medical equipment for this big move. We also needed two other choppers because one had to lead to make sure it found the rhinos on the Thape Palm Island. And then the other one had the vets that would dart them. It was this whole production, but thankfully to say, I still get updates of mama and baby. They rejoined the crash and they're doing phenomenally, but that was probably the biggest undertaking we've ever had. We had to raise $50,000 in 3 months.
I was just going to ask you how much had to be raised in what period of time? And you answered that. How do you get a rhino and her baby onto aircraft?
It's called rhino slinging. And Tosh Ross is the pilot with the highest number of rhino slings. And he was who came and did our rhino sling. And basically what they do is the aircraft never reaches the ground. The team that darted and gets on the ground ties mom first around the ankles. And then he lifts her up and they load across to where they need to go. And then he gently puts her down on her back until she rolls over. And then a team on that side pulls off the sling and he went back and got mom. And there's a whole video of it on our.
So who goes first, mom or baby?
Mom first.
Mom first. And I was just going to ask you that. You keep answering my questions before I even ask them. I love that. There is video coverage. I was like, you know, was this whole thing documented that we can go watch it someplace? And if so, where?
One of the fabulous things about Great Plains is that it's founded by Derek and Beverly Jobert. And they are Nat Geo explorers in residence, and they are also wildlife filmmakers and photographers. And they had their whole team documenting the rescue. And so we have this beautiful video they created for us on our YouTube channel. So if you look up Reclaimed Earth Wildlife on YouTube, you can find our channel, and it's the Operation Island Rhino.
Well, I'm going to do better. We're going to drop it in the show notes. So to the audience that's listening, if you're just as fascinated as I am, because as soon as I get off this podcast interview with Yvette, I am hopping right over to YouTube to watch this. I'll make it easy and just drop it in the show notes. So all you are is a click away. Just read the show notes for this episode. Wow, it must be, it's got to bring tears to your eyes, I'm sure.
We were all crying that day.
So I got to ask a random question, but I'm just now so intrigued and curious. I suspect that in the beginning of the, what did you call it? A sling, a rhino sling? Is that, did I get that right?
Yeah.
I would suspect any mom would be a little protective and, you know, maybe not in the mode to be slung and put onto a plane, but or a jet or a helicopter. But at any point in time, are we aware of a transition with mom and baby that, wait a minute, this community's trying to help me, and they become like grateful and cooperative? Do we have that insight? Hard to tell, right?
I would love that at the end we get that, because rhinos, when they feel threatened, charge.
Yeah.
And they're all there. They have their space, but there's a whole group of humans surrounding, right, with our vehicle.
Yeah.
And we at the end of the video, you see that they look at us. They kind of get their bearings. And they're like, okay, here we go. And they just go up. And to be clear, when they are going in the sling, she is sedated. She's not out completely, but she's darted so that we can manage her, right? There was a study done, and before we engage in any of this, we always check like what consequences could some of this stuff have, because we think we're doing good, but we don't know if hanging upside down is really bad for their, you know, physical well-being, or if being darted and the whole operation, right? It's quite an ordeal. But there's studies done that the hanging upside down doesn't do anything to them. The deworming doesn't do anything. As far as like, we don't see any emotional style behavior, right? Like they're fine, and they go on and they actually thrive. And Ashley and Bayel, which is what mom and baby are called, are actually a perfect example of that, because we move them over, they woke up, and you see baby was actually a little bit more weary than mom. And that usually happens with white rhinos. And she was like, okay, we're good now. And they trounced off into the sunset. It was beautiful.
Oh, I can't wait to watch this. Oh my gosh. I could hear these stories all day. Gosh, what do we need to know about what species are endangered? Who's at risk?
Okay, well, it would be probably easier to say who's not.
Oh boy.
I will explain. So
okay,
there is a list, and it's called the IUCN list, and they measure every year how species are doing.
Okay.
The biggest threat that almost every animal on the planet is facing is habitat loss. And it's because we're developing and we're overdeveloping, and we're doing it in a way that doesn't... The way it's being done shows that there's a lack of consciousness that these beings... for example, most recently, I believe a group of gopher tortoises, which are federally endangered, they live here in Florida, on the other coast, were entombed during a development. And so basically, there should have been a better way to dig out what they needed to dig out without it impacting this community of gopher tortoises. And so when you say what's in danger, really even... I mean, people think giraffes are plentiful, and even giraffes are in danger because they're running out of habitat. And so when you measure that the habitat can only hold, let's say right now it can hold 1,000, but then next year it can only hold 800 because we've diminished it, then the species is at risk. The most endangered, you know, the ones I talk about the most are black rhino. The other two species of rhino, Javan and Sumatran, which are in the Indonesia, India area, pangolin are very endangered. Do you know what a pangolin is?
I don't. Help our audience if they're... I might as well just admit I don't know. So maybe some of our audience doesn't know either. Do you mind sharing?
No, of course. So it's funny because most people don't know, and they think I mispronounced and said I was trying to say penguin. Pangolin is a little armadillo style creature that has scales the back. And actually, most of the people that know about it, it's because there was a rumor going around that it started the coronavirus.
Oh, let me make sure I get that right. Pangolin, is that right? Pangolin?
Pangolin, P-A-N-G-O-L-I-N.
Pangolin. Okay, got it. And so that's rumor that they started the coronavirus. That's strictly rumor?
That was, it's the wet market that started it. The animal itself have anything to do with it.
Okay.
And then, so when you look at a pangolin, they're these funny little creatures. They look like armadillos because they roll up into a little ball.
Cute though.
And it's adorable. But they're being hunted by the millions because their scales are made out of the same thing that the rhino horn is made out of, which is just simple keratin. It's compacted hair. The same thing our nails and our hair is made out of. And so rhino horn is made out of compacted keratin. And they've done tons of biological studies to prove that that's all it is. And this poor little animal who has zero defenses, you can imagine it's much easier to catch a pangolin than it is a rhino.
Right.
Their scales are made out of the same thing.
And so that is being used for beauty products?
No. So Asian markets believe all sorts of things about it. Philippines, Vietnam, China, they all have these. Some of them are superstitions. Other ones are traditional medicine passed on. But it's been disproven at this point of where we are in technology and society. And so they believe that it, some countries believe that it can cure cancer. It obviously can't. Other countries believe that it's a hangover cure. And so rhino horn and pangolin scale are sold on the black market for more than gold or cocaine.
Oh, good Lord.
So it's really organized crime.
Yeah.
Typical conservation issues, right?
Oh, my. All for the mighty dollar, right? Let's endanger a species for revenue. Sounds pathetic.
It is. And we have had a hard time getting a handle around it because it was being treated like a conservation issue. Like we had to protect the animals, which we do. But it really needs to be tackled on an international level as organized crime is. Mm-hmm. Just like.
And you're an attorney, so you would know.
I am.
Yeah. All right. So I'm hearing that the projects that you take on are pretty intense. And 50,000 in 3 months is a pretty big budget. What do you need? We have, you know, I'm fascinated by this conversation. I'm going to check out the videos, your whole YouTube channel. You know, so if people are out there thinking like I am right now, maybe they want to know what you need, how to get involved. So can you share a little, and we'll drop any kind of resources that you talk about in the show notes. So I'm sure a donation on your website would be one of them. But talk about the things that you really need right now and how people can get involved.
So one of the biggest things that we are seeking this year is to grow who we are as an organization. And what I mean by that is our volunteer base, our committees, people to help with, because like I said at the beginning, none of us get paid.
And mm-hmm. So 100% volunteer organization.
Yeah. And so it takes a toll on the amount of production we can, like how we can get the word out on our educational programs, on how many events we can have throughout the year to help fundraise, to help educate. We need people to help us with those things. One of the things that I was hoping to do in the coming years is do a U.S. kind of like tour where we can do these events and have talks about our work in different cities to help grow our audience also. But you can follow us on Instagram. We're probably the most active on Instagram just because it's a little easier for me than the other platforms. And share the information. We have a weekly quiz that we do. We have a Did You Know every week where we give facts on all these different animals that we're working with. We have information about our projects on there. And if you know someone that may want to be a corporate sponsor of one of these projects, you know, making that connection. I answer most of the messages on the Instagram. You can, if you want to contact us, you can also email us and get in contact with us that way and see what kind of opportunities are going on at the time. Currently, locally, if you're in the Miami area, we do have a pine rockland that we adopted from the county. Our county has this wonderful program called the EEL program that they protect endangered lands. And one of the properties that they protected, we have adopted and have agreed to maintain and protect it. The issue the county has is obviously funding. So they need organizations like us to step in and help. And we have volunteer days twice a month, every month. So that's one of the things they can come and do, help learn about the pine rockland, why it's important, and help us clean up and pull invasive plants and plant native plants. That's all part of our thing. So.
Wow. I'll get all of this into the show notes because I have a funny feeling people will want to get involved or at least learn more. And at the very least, just share it out. That is something pretty easy for people to do. And I guess Reclaimed Earth really covers a lot of territory, no pun intended. I didn't mean to use the word territory, but sure. Just about anything can fall under the category of reclaiming our earth. So you do work. I'm sorry?
It's been our biggest challenge because most organizations, they have a hyper focus, whether
right.
Beach cleanups or a specific animal. But I really felt compelled to just kind of, my goal when I started was I don't have to reinvent the wheel. There are a lot of people doing really amazing work out there. And I really just want to bring that to light to people because like we said, I'm a lawyer. I was trained to research and I had a hard time finding out solid answers about certain things. So I thought that's where I can fill that gap for people and I can help bring awareness to organizations like the Great Plains Foundation and like Wild Tomorrow, some of our partners. It is challenging because it means everything.
Broad strokes. Yeah. I think is the nonprofit name, is it Reclaimed Earth or Reclaimed Earth Wildlife?
It's called Reclaimed Earth, but we added the wildlife simply because there's a lot of other businesses using the word Reclaimed Earth. And we want to be able to distinguish it and make it easy for people to find. So our Instagram handle is Reclaimed Earth Wildlife. Our email, our website is also. And so it just makes it easier when you're searching Reclaimed Earth because you get a lot of, funny enough, you get a lot of reclaimed wood stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. Because that's so popular on the decorating side. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about restoring the earth to all its natural beauty and preserving all of its natural beauty. We don't want to not be with rhino, not have rhinos in our future or any other species for that matter. So how have you been successful so far engaging with the community and garnering the support that you need? I mean, it's remarkable. I don't know where I would begin, honestly. If I heard that I needed to save a rhino mom and baby on an island, how do you get the wind beneath your wings? Not to quote, you know, the song or be cheeky here, but no, how do you engage the community, garner the support that you need, let alone the fundraising that you have to do in record time? Can you just share that inspiration? What are the secrets to your success there?
So I don't, for me, it's innate and it just, what that's going on. Of course, I'm going to do something about it. And it's just this natural fire I have inside. And what others tell me is that natural fire is contagious. And so when I talk to people about it and I'm so intense and passionate about it that they're like, oh, I can join and help. And so if you talk to my board, that's what they tell you is my secret. But for me, I do share a lot and I don't have qualms about it. Doesn't matter what we're talking about. We will end up talking about rhinos and most people know that about me. But I'm being from Miami. I think I have the perspective that you have to make it enjoyable for people to want to learn about it. And so a lot of our educational programs are tied in with an activity that people already like to do. So for example, one of the big successful fundraisers we did during that time was a wine tasting, but it was South African wine tasting. And that opens the door to talk about all of these issues, right? And usually, like I said, people come to the wine tasting because they wanted to try the wine and they didn't know that they would end up caring about all these things.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know when I started the podcast that I'd end up caring about a baby rhino and her mom. So I get it. I get it. Wow. Good for you. I mean, you just have this get up and go attitude. Like, of course, I'm going to do something. And I think that's a message to all our audience. Please just get up and do something, you know, find reclaimed earth and see where you can help.
And that's our slogan, do your part.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to control. You don't have to even do a big part of it, but do your part.
Your part.
Whatever that looks like.
Because we all share this earth, so we all need to take responsibility and accountability, you know, if we're going to be here. So I think what you're doing is just beautiful. I'm really excited to go watch that YouTube video. So how's the fundraising events going? How have they been helping? Are you getting in, you know, after COVID? I feel like everybody just flocked to being back in person, but now we're seeing a little bit more of a quality trend and higher level trend. Is that what you're seeing as well in your events?
Absolutely. We actually haven't started our events this year yet because the beginning of the year was just pretty hectic. We have our first event May 1st, and we're doing
right around the corner.
One of our previous past supporters, he always supports. The name of the business is Lincoln's Beard. It's a brewery here. They have karaoke, and from time to time they'll donate proceeds of that karaoke night to a nonprofit. And so they picked Reclaimed Earth for the one that's coming up. And we're adding the layer of vintage cars. So we're going to have vintage cars and karaoke on Save the Rhino Day.
Which is when? When is Save the Rhino Day?
May 1st.
Oh, got it. All right. All ties in together.
Yes.
And lots of intentionality behind Reclaimed Earth. It seems like everything you do, there's intentionality behind it. So that's pretty cool. But I didn't mean to interrupt you. So tell me about the event.
So we're hoping to see a good turnout. Like I said, the brewery is going to make a donation. And then we're asking for those that want a vintage car parking for a suggested donation of $15. And so far, we've gotten good feedback once the flyer went out. And so I'm hoping to have a good turnout. We have a couple other events this year. They're going to be more educational and more focused on education and fun like this one. For example, we're hoping to have a screening of the Rhino Man movie. It's a movie that was created by some colleagues of mine in South Africa. And it's really an ode to all the men that are out there and women that are out there protecting rhinos. One of their rangers he was killed in the line of duty. And so they made this movie to show what they go through and really to promote how everyone else can help with saving the species. And so we're hoping to bring that. It's a beautiful, beautiful movie. You can check that out also. It's currently the festivals.
Film festivals.
So mm-hmm. They're currently on the circuit for that, and I'm hoping they get a couple more. And hopefully we'll be screening it in September here in Miami.
Wow. Well, I can't wait to check back in with you to see what else you're doing. You have to promise me to come back to the show and let us know how. What's the mom and baby's name again?
Ashley and Bio.
Let us know how they're doing and just what other projects you're working on. I mean, this is all our responsibility for sure. And to our audience that's listening, let's do this together. Let's let's really reclaim our earth. That's what it's all about. And we applaud you, Yvette, for what you're doing. You just have that take it on attitude. Of course, we're going to help. And thank you for educating me and our audience so that we know to care, right? And I think that back to your point in the beginning, you have to educate yourself first. Caring is the easy part. So Fearless Fundraisers, I'm so sorry, but that's all about all the time we have for today. I know we want to still keep talking about baby rhinos and saving all these beautiful species and reclaiming the earth, but you can do your part and I'll have all of the information in the show notes so that you can get involved. I hope you enjoyed today's Raise Nation topic and your daily dose of inspiration. Please tune in for a new episode release every Thursday at 12:30 p.m. That's Thursdays, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time for new releases. But in the meantime, you can listen to all the episodes on Raise Nation Radio. You have about 130 to catch up on. We do stream just about everywhere on 10 different channels. So just follow the channel that you like best. And this way you can get information about all of our new guests. I would like to thank our sponsor, OneCause, for making this episode possible. OneCause is driving the future of fundraising with easy-to-use digital fundraising solutions that help nonprofits connect with donors. Check it out, onecause.com. And please visit the resource tab on the homepage. You'll find all of our podcasts, as well as a broad catalog of content that hopefully you'll find helpful. A just huge and special thank you and shout out to my guest today, Yvette Ayala, just for sharing something new and inspirational and very authentic conversation about our earth, how to reclaim it, species that are endangered, and how we can get involved. Yvette, thank you so much for being with us today. I so enjoyed our conversation. I find it fascinating, but I do have to ask, any last words of inspiration for our audience?
So I usually leave people with a quote that I heard, and it is the essence of who I am. And it's by Eli Wiesel. And it's, there may be times when we are powerless to prevent injustice, but there must never be a time when we fail to protest.
You know what? In meeting you for just 20, 30 minutes, I totally understand why that's one of your favorite quotes. So thank you for sharing that with us and inspiring our audience. We really appreciate you being here today.
Thank you for having me, Dawn.
That's a wrap. Until next time, I'm Dawn Lego. This is Raise Nation Radio. You stay fearless out there.